Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too. I'm in Tyersburg, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. This is real serious Heartland America. You want to meet some real people, folks? If you live on the, you know, on either one of the coasts and you feel like you're in concrete jungle and the people you meet are, you know, kind of, you're not real people. Just drive to Dyersburg, Tennessee. fly into Memphis and then drive over to Dyersburg, Tennessee, and you'll meet real people like our good friend, my good friend Alan Hester, who's the president of the Chamber of Commerce here in Dyersburg, Tennessee, Dyer County. Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to have you here in our community, and I just wanted to say right here at the outset, for all those who may be listening this morning, that we do have a paved road all the way from Memphis to Dyersburg. In fact, it's four lanes.
It's four lanes.
Yeah, so you can get there from here, so to speak.
You know, a lot of people who've never been to the South, think that Southerners don't wear shoes and that we don't have paved roads in the South and that sort of thing. And so sometimes it's a shock to them when they find out that pretty much, you know, people in Dyer County, Tennessee, have most of the stuff that they have in New York and Connecticut and places like that.
It's true, and it's funny. It still happens, although, you know, the South has made so much progress over the last 30 or 40 years in economic development and recruiting industry and so forth. But we just recently recruited a new industry to our community. And they sent their human resources folks down a couple of weeks ago for the first time. And after the gentleman had been here for a day or so with us and touring the community, he kind of took me aside and he said, you know, I feel so much better now. I didn't know quite what to expect. But, no, it's a great little place. We're about 75 miles north of Memphis on the west side of Tennessee. Our county borders the Mississippi River, as you know, and we're just a little bit south of Kentucky. So we're kind of up there in that northwest corner of the state.
Well, years ago, my father and I made a trip through here, and we went fishing in the Real Foot Lake. And I have some of my fondest memories of my father and I being together. We used to hunt and fish a lot together when I was a kid.
But
I'm telling you, I'll never forget the time that we spent. I must have been 10 years old or so, and I'll never forget being on that lake.
It's a great place to go, and it's still huge for fishing tournaments. And there's one next month, as a matter of fact, for crappie fishermen.
That's what we were doing.
All over the United States, will be about 500 competitive fishermen in here. That's actually up in Lake County, just about 25 miles north of us. But it's important for people to understand that we're in close proximity to the river. And in fact, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was a project that we embarked on about 6 or 7 years ago to build a river port and an industrial park on the river in Lake County, just a little bit south of Real Foot Lake, and that now is a going project. It's been funded, and the Corps of Engineers is in the process.
And that's on the Mississippi River.
On the Mississippi River.
Right.
So that's one of two things that are big things that this chamber has worked on in the past 5 to 10, even going back as far as 15 years, and on things that we know will bring great benefit to the community, and which, frankly, will change the character of the community somewhat.
A lot of communities have natural assets that have been languishing.
That's true.
And that people take for granted.
That's true.
And all of a sudden they wake up and they say, wait a minute.
Right.
We have mountains. Or wait a minute, we have a river.
Exactly.
Or we have a desert. Or whatever it is that they've grown up around,
right,
that they take so much for granted, their communities are finding out that they've got these great natural assets that other people think are cool if we just put a little spit and polish on them.
Exactly. And We have that very situation in our downtown area, where one of the tributaries of the Mississippi is a smaller river called the Forked Deer. It's one of three in this region. There's the Forked Deer. There's an Obion River. All of them flow out and empty into the Mississippi. And our tributaries, as I said, and Dyersburg began as a lumber milling town on the bank of the Forked Deer River, mm-hmm. and lumber was cut and brought down to the sawmill, and then they used shallow draft steamboats to float the lumber out to the Mississippi and on to market nationwide. So that's how the town got started. But over time, as the town grew and business changed, the town sort of turned its back on that river and now is focused inward, if mm-hmm. you will, northward from the river. And we just recently had a downtown master plan done for our area to revitalize our downtown, which is still a pretty viable little area, but we wanted to spruce it up and do more with it. And we hired an urban planning firm out of Memphis, an outfit called Looney Ricks Kiss. And Frank Ricks came in and studied our area for a couple of weeks, and he said, you know, you guys have got your back turned to one of your most vital natural resources that a lot of cities would pay big money to have. And that, we said, what? And he said, the river. And one of my guys on my board said, what river?
the one within 45 feet, right, of him, probably.
Yeah, right. The one you could hit a 9-iron from the courthouse into the river. But so now we have a plan to kind of recapture.
But you guys took it for granted.
Yeah, we had just let it.
It grew up.
It kind of became sort of an industrial area down there, and it was sort of neglected. So now we have a plan in place to clean all that up, put in a riverfront park, an amphitheater, and do some things to really, really fix it up.
So
take advantage of it.
So what did you learn about that process that you would tell to other chamber leaders out there?
I would say this, and I'll be honest. I did not think that the people in this town, whether they were on our board or chamber members or not, just the general population of the community, would really embrace the idea and be enthusiastic about the idea of trying to clean up this area and reclaim that small riverfront park. But mm-hmm. I was amazed at the acceptance level and the immediate enthusiasm that people have for this and that they continue to have. So I would just say to chamber directors or community leaders or anyone out there, don't jump to a conclusion before you do a study or put some mm-hmm. information on the table. Don't underestimate the vision and the forward thinking of your constituents.
At least don't answer for them. Ask them the question. Let them
answer the question.
Right?
Yeah.
Stand by, Alan. Alan Hester, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Dyersburg County Chamber of Commerce, Dyersburg, Tennessee, Dyer County Chamber of Commerce, I should say. He and I are going to take a break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Mr. Mark Knopfler on guitar. I'm in Dyersburg, Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. It's like a dream come true to be in Dyersburg, Tennessee on this day. To be able to come here and work with the Chamber of Commerce, Alan Hester and his fine bunch of folks here at the Dyer County Dyersburg Chamber of Commerce about an hour and 15 minutes northeast of Memphis, about probably, 2 hours from Nashville, two and a half?
A little over 2 hours.
Just almost due west of Nashville.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half south of Paducah.
Right.
Maybe about 3 hours from St. Louis.
That's about
so that
right.
Kind of makes it the center of the universe, doesn't it, Alan?
The epicenter, I'd say. The garden spot. This is how I would characterize it.
We were talking. By the way, give us the website.
www.dyerchamber.com.
Dyerchamber.com. D-Y-E-R.
D-Y-E-R.com.
Dyerchamber.com. Yeah. You were talking about this river heritage and mm-hmm. and some of the things that mm-hmm. Mainly just for communities and chambers to look around and say, okay, you know, what have we got that we've been taking for granted?
Right.
And build on that and be proud of things like that. How do you feel an attitude of pride in your community, and even, you know, even if it's a little community, being so proud of it. How do you think that comes across to prospects who might be bringing in businesses, industry, that sort of thing?
Well, I think it's more important, perhaps, than people realize. I think if for those out there that know about the site selection process of how companies go about finding locations to...
Which is a science these days.
It's part science, but it's part art. And this is where I think the art part of it comes into play when you talk about community pride and enthusiasm. That's kind of an intangible, but to get back to my point, and I'll try to make this brief, but when you get into the site selection process, it's actually a process of elimination. Mm-hmm. Companies and consultants are looking for reasons not to come to your community.
To cross
you off the list and go and get down to what they call a short list of maybe three or four sites. Mm-hmm. And usually in our part of the country, it comes down to us versus a site in Kentucky or Mississippi or Missouri or Arkansas, sometimes Alabama, and those neighboring states, and we all compete fiercely for business.
Right.
But typically, when you're on a short list, what that means is the basic numbers of your community and how they match up to the needs of a company will work. It comes down to the feeling that company officials get when they visit your community versus others, and are you the right people that they are looking for to work with? Is there a good feeling about the community? Does the community show well? Does it look good when you drive people around? Are the people upbeat? Are they enthusiastic? And I would say in Dyersburg that we get high marks for those kinds of intangible things. And I've had people tell me, and companies that have come here would say to me, you guys were the least parochial, the most forward-thinking, and the most enthusiastic of any small town that we visited. So we
good for you.
Take a lot of pride in that.
Well, absolutely. Well, the thing is that so much, as you said, so much of the decision-making process has taken place before you even know they're looking at you.
Exactly. The Internet now, you know, this is a real important point for chambers of commerce in general. And you and I were at the American Chamber of Commerce executives meeting in Cleveland
right,
a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And this is talked about nationwide among chambers, and that's the fact that for 100 years or more, chambers of commerce across the country owned the franchise on their community's data and information.
Right.
And along comes something called the Internet, which we're using today. And now, all of a sudden, someone can go to a computer and Google Dyersburg and come up with just a mountain of information without ever having to contact the local officials or call the Chamber of Commerce. So the whole playing field has been changed, and you're right. You do get looked at a lot before you even realize it.
But once they get here, never underestimate your ability to connect with these people on a human being level. These are once they get here, they bleed red, and just like we do, they have families, they care about other people. Mm-hmm. Never underestimate your ability to convince them to overcome many obstacles that you might have. Never miss the opportunity to convey to them what a great community you got.
I still think, in spite of all the technological changes, that it comes down to personal, interpersonal relationships and a question of who do I want to do business with. And I think people feel comfortable doing business with folks that they've come to know, that they can look at face to face, that they can speak with and talk to, and get a comfort level, if you will, of doing business with that person. It's very human when you get down to the
Absolutely.
Bottom.
Absolutely. It's just like your members.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same thing your members either know or they need to know, and that is that you can have all the product, you can have all the pricing, you can have all the other stuff in the world, but people do business with people, don't they?
That's exactly right.
And they come
at all levels.
Exactly. Whether it be an ice cream cone, or a 500-employee plant.
That's right.
It all comes down to that. Give us the website again.
www.dyerchamber.com.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and broadcasting live from Dyersburg, Tennessee. I'm going to give a speech after a while. Later on in the day, I'm going to be speaking to some of their small business folks, and you're going to be able to listen to some of them a little bit later in the show. Alan's got one more segment with me. When we come back, I'm going to ask him what it takes to run and be successful with a small chamber in small-town America. I'm Jim Blasingame, 29 After. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Alan Hester.
Is bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Well, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Welcome back, it's 34 after the hour. Broadcasting live from Dyersburg, Tennessee, in the Chamber of Commerce building. This is the Lanham Center, Alan, is that right?
Lanham, that's correct.
The Lanham Center.
L-A-N-N-O-M, named for a gentleman named Ed Lanham, who was a prominent businessman here in town and whose family is still very active in business and civic affairs. And he contributed quite a tidy sum of his personal funds to seed this building to get the building
right.
project going. We're talking about what it takes to have a successful chamber.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Alan Hester, if you just tuned in. Alan is the president of the Chamber of Commerce and my host today. As I'm up here working with the chamber, I'm going to be speaking to a group of their folks a little bit later on. And, Alan, we were going to talk about, as you were about to say, what it takes to run a chamber successfully in small-town America.
Well, there's some fundamentals that I think you have to have at any chamber of commerce, regardless of size. You've got to have integrity in the way that you run the operation. People have to feel like that if they're members, they're going to be treated fairly and equally across the board, no matter who they are, what business that they might be in. And we work very hard to try to create that kind of atmosphere at our chamber. And also, you've got to have that integrity when you're dealing with prospects and industry. People coming in asking questions about your community. You got to be an honest broker of information, those kinds of things, but at the same time, put the best foot of the community forward. So those are fundamentals. In a small town, the challenge is simply to get the people around the table that can really drive your chamber forward. And we're lucky here that we have a group of business leaders who have for many years had a vision for where they wanted the community to go, and they've been willing to step up and do the things necessary to make that happen and put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, and fund these initiatives that we've undertaken that have moved us down the path.
You just alluded to something that's so important. A lot of people get the idea that the chamber is a utility that's created by the government, and it's there to serve them.
Right.
They don't understand that the chamber is them.
That's right. It's the business community.
The chamber is not. It's a private corporation.
That's right.
It's a nonprofit corporation. It is owned by the stakeholders. It's owned by the members of the chamber, who are typically the business people, small business owners, the industrialists, the commercial folks, all the different people. But they get the idea that it's a utility and it's their inalienable right, and it's not any better than they are than what they contribute to it.
That's right. In our community, we have about 650 members in our chamber, which is high in terms of percentage. That's about half of the market share.
That's great.
Of licensed businesses in the county. We've got about 20 manufacturing firms here. We've got a Caterpillar plant. We've got a Sara Lee food plant,
right.
Firestone plant, and so forth. We've got a lot of industry here. So you have that group. You have your banking community, which is strong. The realtors are pretty strong and supportive of the chamber. And then you've got the bulk of our members are small business members.
Right.
What we have to try to continue to tell them is that the efforts that the chamber puts forth day to day to recruit industry, to retain industry, to hold on to what we have, and to help grow our community is an effort that will bring benefit to every business person in the county.
Mm-hmm.
When we recruit an industry that brings in 550 new jobs like we did back in 2003 with a company called Nordyne that relocated from St. Louis, 200 miles to the north, down to Dyersburg, bringing 550 new jobs, Everyone in the community benefits from those additional payroll dollars sooner or later.
Right, right.
And that's that. We work hard to try to make people understand that that the main thrust of our effort, myself and the staff here, is to go out and recruit industry and hold on to the industry that we have, and also to undergird our agricultural base. We talked about the river and the river port. That'll right. be largely agribusiness-based. Mm-hmm. This is a big part of our economy here is agribusiness.
Well, and you'd be surprised how many places have a similar story. I mean, your story, the Dyersburg story, is legion across this country, across mm-hmm. this great land. Most chambers of commerce are small chambers of commerce in small town America, heartland America, just like yours. And Alan, from what I've seen, I just want to congratulate you on the great job you're doing here. I know you're dedicated to these folks, and I know they feel that way about you, too. And I want to thank you for inviting me to be here and to work with you guys today.
Well, we're delighted that you're here. I will say, you know, I have great support from my board and from the city of Dyersburg and the county, and that's what makes it work.
We're going to meet your chairman in the next hour.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Alan, thanks very much.
Thank you, Jim.
In a minute, I'm going to be visiting with a banker, one of my favorite people in the world, Don Cruz. He doesn't know me, but if he's a banker, he's one of my favorite people. I'm a small business owner. We got to have our bankers. I'm Jim Blassingame. It's 20 Till. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
But no one can tell.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.